Hello and welcome back to Entrepreneurs Talk Africa, the podcast for African entrepreneurs, where we bring you insights and inspiration with stories of success from across the continent. I'm Jason Delory, entrepreneur, innovation strategist, and mentor. In today's episode, we are continuing our progression series. It has been a pleasure to reconnect with some of the amazing guests we've had on the show over the years and hearing how their journeys have evolved. Today is no exception. We have the pleasure of reconnecting with Stefano Rose, an African diaspora entrepreneur based in Australia, and he's the founder of Next Avenue. It's an honor to have you back on the show. How are you doing today, Stefano?
Jason, great. Good to see you again.
It's a pleasure, and it's fantastic to have you, and we're delighted to have you with us and to deep dive into what the future has brought for you and then what the future looks like for Next Avenue. If I remember correctly, it was around March 2021 where we had our first interview, and you shared some of the challenges you faced both personally and professionally with becoming an entrepreneur and also moving to Australia, originally being born in Mauritius. But maybe for those listeners who didn't get a chance to listen to your episode, and I highly recommend that they go back and listen to it. Do you want to give a quick intro about yourself?
Sure. Look, I'm Mauritian, born and raised in Mauritius, and it's been 8 years of living in Australia, working out there, back and forth to Mauritius a couple of times a year, and yeah, going to explore while I work still and deliver value to customers here and there, you know, jumping across to Singapore, to London, to back to Mauritius, time to time to States. Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's been quite busy.
Yeah. Even in an era of post-pandemic, still being able to do a lot of traveling, which is great. And also the founder of Next Avenue. Do you maybe want to give us your mission and vision or just a quick synopsis of what Next Avenue does?
Sure thing. Look, as the CEO and founder of Next Avenue, I lead a team of approximately a total people of 18 people about thereabouts. We're turning, let's say, 19 on Monday.
Wow.
It's a key person joining in Australia, who's also one of my best friends. Well, I would say the current best friend, if I can say that this way. And I'm super excited about it, right? So he's really going to bring something special to the team. But to come back to Next Avenue and what we do, we are a specialist Salesforce consulting partner. We implement Salesforce technologies in what we call Salesforce clouds. There are multiple of them, but we specialize across service and marketing for a couple of industries. We work with clients across Australia, New Zealand, ASEAN, over Europe and in African region, and also in Mauritius, to be honest. And that was also a core part of our plan to put Mauritius on the map. We have to help home a lot.
Yes, I believe.
As a Mauritian founder, one of the key, pillar of, let's say, growing the company is also to grow a team back home. Let's put it this way, to grow those next potential company founders and people who would start something big later and create big impact.
Yeah, I like that. And I love that, you know, always touching back to the continent as well. You know, a part of your team is based here in Mauritius while you're doing your activities in Australia. So just goes to show you with a bit of thought and creativity, you know, you can get the best of both worlds in that sense. But as per our last interview, you know, it's been great to see the team grow. I see your team is growing. You allude to your new member, but also the team itself up to 19. So definitely seeing that growth. But what do you think has been, since our last conversation, that the biggest change or milestone that the Next Avenue has experienced?
Look, there's quite a few. Where to start, I think. So we've been able to put a lot more structures over the last 2 years. So since we last spoke in 2021 in March, and now literally a little bit after, you know, a little bit more than 2 years after. Obviously, as we added people to the team, and we had more clients onboarded, and, you know, let's put it this way, implementations being done and clients that we keep helping strategically. we had to have more solid, let's say, processes being put in place, right? Obviously, we're a growing team, but still, we didn't want to have rigidity in the team. We wanted to stay lean because that's a key blocker. That would have been a key blocker for us, and let's put it this way, break considerably our ability to pivot and change, or like change our strategy, for example, of how we go to market, and like change our focus on some industries or work with some specific clients, or like the type of projects we work with, if you see what I mean. So we still had to stay lean in our way we're operating on a day to day, but we had to consolidate the baseline with key processes. Think about it this way, key checklists of things for us to respect and execute on a day to day, right? Working on our culture was something, let's say, continuous. It has been I call that maybe a live document, if you think about it. You kept writing line, you kept having people, let's say, mentored, or most importantly as well, listened. I wanted to listen to my team as well as we go, give them the opportunity to say, hey, what's not working, or what you've learned over the past couple of months, and from all our mistakes we've all done together, or from, let's say, a hard customer we've worked with, so that we could adjust course. And again, feedback into our processes, into our, structure to operate projects, into our way to architecture solutions. There's so much actually we can improve on a day-to-day, right? It's never going to be perfect, that's for sure. Never going to be perfect, but I think there's always some room to add some improvements, right? And it's key, because if you add those improvements, it means that you have a better team to work together, plus also you deliver better value to customers.
So true. Right. And I think it's really interesting, because it's a common thing we've spoken about in these progression episodes, where the companies are scaling and really feeling some of those growing pains. And what's really been highlighted is that importance of structure, the structure being the building blocks for the ability to scale and the ability to grow, are really important. But I love the different dimensions you bring there, is by understanding that part of your unique selling point, or the part of the reason that you're successful, is that ability to be nimble, to be agile, to pivot, to be big, be able to adapt, and building that into the process, building that into your, I think that's the only way to go to ensure that you continue evolving like that. So I think that's a really good point, and definitely something to consider if you're looking at scaling yourself. The other point, culture, I love it. They say culture eats strategy for breakfast, but it's this intangible thing. Yeah, exactly. And we don't, we say it, but do we do it? And I love this approach to it, because you're basically making it a two-way street. Rather than saying, as a company, this is our culture, you're listening and feeling the people and saying, okay, this is what we all stand for, and allowing them to change. I think that helps them adopt it. Being part of the process will always help people be willing to accept it. So I think really, really key points, and really interesting that it is something that's mentioned, but giving that different dimension that you bring, always nice to hear. And one thing that also struck me from our last conversation, and I was wondering, how this is now, you were always someone who stayed connected. You were always, very much valued your network. You made a conscious effort to keep in contact with people, and also keep your pulse in Africa, even though, as you mentioned, living abroad for 8 years. I just wanted to know, have you felt a change in the African ecosystem, or the entrepreneurial landscape in Africa? Has it become easier for you to stay connected? What's your feeling around, being on the pulse with the ecosystem?
Look, I felt we've actually seen it became easier as we started to have more team members around, and as we started to, let's say, do a little, let's say, event or activity here and there. Well, as an example, We've run a joint, let's say, webinar with Salesforce and one of the universities in Mauritius. That was some point last year, early last year. And after that, there'd been some flowing effect of, let's say, us engaging with, you know, new prospects. But all of that was a built up of us staying in touch with, you know, person X, Y, and Z in a continent, right? Whether it's in Mauritius or South Africa or Kenya. So staying in touch with people also helped us pretty much, like, let's say, build a pipeline of people that can help us on the long term. Although they're not part of the team now, I'm very sure it will be a right time for them to come on board, right? When the time is right, when we have a, let's put it this way, a good solid project pipeline happening and being executed and being signed off, etc. So I would say that it became easier, but yes, with the continuous, you know, it's like, think about it this way. That's what I said to my team. You got to keep dropping a coin into that box every week. If you keep dropping coin by coin, at some point, the box is just going to start filling up. And this is where you start cashing out pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So it's same with keeping in touch with people. You got to drop a coin every week. Whether it's every week or every 2 weeks, but the big word there is consistency.
Yeah.
So keep the faith, keep doing it over a long term. And when it starts paying off, it will start paying off well.
Right, yeah.
So, and to translate that into relationships there, if you drop the coin by coin, the relationship you're building is a long-term, solid, good relationship. Yeah. It's a true, authentic one, right?
Yeah. So I think, you know, you are definitely somebody who is well adapted to that. So with all your, you know, contacts around, what's the feeling? Has there been a big change in the African ecosystem in your mind, or do you think it's, you know, business as usual? How are you feeling in a bigger picture?
I think that people are still waking up post-COVID.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that. I don't want to say it's kind of a, you know, how to say. Look, there's always a perception that Africa is always behind with a lot of things. Yeah. I'm not that believer. I have firm belief that Africa is the one to come in. Yes, we're coming in last, but when we're coming in, we're coming in great. Right. Indeed. So yes, we're still waking up in that part of the world. We're still waking up post-COVID. Yeah, but we're still catching up with things. Yes, there's been some businesses here and there that are still like a bit more risk averse. And that's not happening only in Africa, right? That's happening everywhere. People are just like having a look around and be like, okay, is recession happening in 6 months or not? And there have been 2 years people are talking about recessions happening in 6 months. And look, every day on the news, every news you read, right? CNBC, Wall Street Journal, and everybody's still saying, all right, it's happening in 6 months. Still right now, 25th of April, 2023, people are saying it's going to happen in 6 months again. You see, so but I've seen, you know, quite a few people, businesses moving faster because we see the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're small, you can move faster. If you're big, you're more risk averse generally.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I've seen. That's the feeling I have. But it's not only in African continent, it's other places as well.
So, right? So true.
It's happening in Asia Pacific and elsewhere.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned risk there as well. And you mentioned COVID and you know, these are some challenges. But if regardless of COVID, for yourself and for Next Avenue, what do you think has been the biggest challenge you've faced in the past 2 years with your growth?
One of the key ones, definitely people. Well, let me expand. Finding the right people at the right time. Generally, finding the right people at the right time out of COVID or out of those, let's say, you know, fear of recession period, etc., is hard, but there's been a time, maybe from 2021 onwards, from like mid 2021, where everybody thought that the world going to start recover, but in fact went the other side. Everybody kept waiting for each other, pretty much, right? And obviously, there's been multiple waves of COVID and multiple waves of like lockdown, reopen. It made things super hard. It almost felt like in that Marvel movie, you know, where everybody disappeared, like 50% of the world disappeared. I was yes. I kept saying that to a few people, but I know it's not funny, right? Believe me. But it felt like this, like where's everybody? Where's that 50% of people who were there before? And just suddenly there was a lack of skilled or even people who are ready to work out there. So that has been one of the key challenges. Now, added to that, obviously, was the large amount of hesitation from businesses to, let's put it this way, take a step to even add up the little piece of technology. So think about it. Generally, people are investing a bit on technology. You know, you're buying a bit of technology, there are people helping you deliver value on that technology, or you're buying a piece of software, you know, like SaaS model. You know, it's the whole game of the economy, right? You got to keep the money flowing. But around mid-2021 onwards, I think there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of like that hesitation just slowing everything down. And that's been happening everywhere. No specific country, pretty much everywhere. We've seen it. Talk to clients in, you know, Australia, in New Zealand, in Singapore, in African region. It's been exact same thing.
It's a challenge that we're all facing, and it's something that it takes time to recover from that, because everyone still has that memory of like don't risk it too much, it could all change. But I like your thinking behind it and putting people at the core, and I think that's something you do a lot, which helps. Is understanding that at the end of the day, it's people. But I like that little nuance of it's finding the right people. And even with yourself being employing people remotely, having a very much remote first aspect of the way you're building your teams, and you're still saying that that's a challenge. So that's really interesting. You know, remote working doesn't solve everything. You still need to find the right people and the right fit, you know.
It doesn't solve everything. That's true. For us, though, we've seen that doing remote work is also great. I'll tell you, maybe, and that's my point of view, obviously. Different type of businesses run at different pace, different style of people, you know, that's what make the whole world turn around kind of every day. But we don't have a massive team, and I feel that we can still have a lot of flexibility and well-being created on a day-to-day if we're still working remote, and a mix of like, let's meet each other for lunch regularly. Yeah. I don't know, maybe once a fortnight or once a month. Some of us will go on site to a client, maybe once a month as an example. But, you know, it means that we don't need to start work sharp at 9 o'clock or 8:30 and finish sharp at 5, right? There's still some flexibility we can do there. You can go to the gym in the morning.
Yeah.
Technically, to put that this way, it doesn't matter. Go to the gym in the morning. As long as we make the key, let's say, meetings and key engagement we have and deliver the outcome, that's what it's about.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, it puts even more importance on finding the right people, because not everybody is right for that. But when you do find the right people, it makes the whole team much more efficient in that sense. You know, you're speaking of the team and how it's grown and everything. You know, it's been a pleasure to watch the companies grow as Entrepreneurs Talk Africa, watch you guys succeed and keep growing. But also, you know, one of the things that we try and do is learn from that and learn from you the different successes across the continent, the different founders, and share it with other entrepreneurs. So my question is, if you were to look at the past 2 years and think of, you know, the skill or the piece, the one piece of whether it be advice, information, outlook, perspective that changed your trajectory or helped your trajectory, what would it be? You know, what would you be telling other entrepreneurs?
Well, to put it this way, from the amount of learning I've acquired over the last 2 years, I don't want to say that this way, but I would go watch a few YouTube video about how you manage your cash flow, at least have an understanding on that,
yeah,
and how that
yeah.
affects how that affects the whole game. It's pretty much like, if you're not good at finance, try to brush up and build up a bit of skills on it, right?
Mm.
So at the end of the day, if you are an entrepreneur, you will develop the will to go and learn it, because learning it would get you to survive at some point and then thrive.
Yeah.
So that's capital, right? Finance. You know, you'll have great financial literacy. Well, build that up, right? It's important. What else? I've learned a lot of, let's say, and I keep learning a lot about sales every day, negotiation tactics, a lot about, you know, how you position your brand, how you shape a go-to-market every new financial year, or how you twist and pivot that across the year, because, yeah, there'll be hesitations. They're building up across a whole year, and, like, what do you change? Because I'll give you an example. Let's say if you focus on working with, let's say, construction type of businesses, and you see that the construction industry is slowing down. So there's two things there. Either you slow down at the same time, or you try to pivot and tackle another industry and still leverage all the experience and all the skills that your team has to be delivering in another sector or subsector. You see what I mean? So look, working on your sales skills, you know, go-to-market strategy, and finance, I think, would be the key ones.
Yeah, it's amazing how sometimes, you know, we forget the fundamentals and how important they are. But yeah, I mean, cash is king. It makes the life or death of the startup. So it's important that we're able to understand it, at least. I mean, you don't need to be an expert, but you need to have a firm understanding of how to manage your finances, especially as you grow. Because I think, you know, one of the common mistakes is, just because you're getting more money in doesn't mean you can be, less attention to that money. It's almost more so, you know, the more money you get in, the more careful you have to be about where it's going, how it's being used, and so on. So I think
I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah, it is something that, you know, we think, you know, when, let's say, you get funded and you have money in the book, that's it, you know, you've made it. But there's a lot more to it after that. Speaking of more, what is on the cards for Next Avenue in the coming years? Is there any program or anything you're excited about that's coming up that you'd like to share?
Like, I think... One of the key ones for us, you know, as a, put it this way, as a bootstrap business, we've been growing organically, choosing where we put our effort, choosing the markets. As I said to you, with consistency, dropping a coin bit by bit till it start paying off for us, and then staying on top of things, right? So that it's been pretty much like a fine keep win, we call it, in the whole Salesforce ecosystem. So what's coming for us is, in the near future, Europe market, where we're going to start working a bit more there. Down track in the next, let's say, 8 to 10 months, more in American market as well. So I'll have the two key spots where, let's put it this way, we've ignited the fire. There's going to be more happening in that space. But right now, there's a bit more happening in African region, working with clients already.
Nice.
Team is, I don't want to say we're growing at a crazy pace. No, we don't want that. We just want to grow at our own pace and do it in a sustainable way. That's the key part.
Yeah, again, I think an important point to note there, sustainable way. growth for growth's sake, you know, in some of the aspects we hear from Silicon Valley, masters of scale, you know, blitz scaling, and so on, can be a dangerous rhetoric if it's not sustainable. So, and I think that's particularly evident in African startups where, you know, cash flow, profitability are key to getting more and more growth. So I think definitely something to keep an eye out for. But before we leave, Stefano, I just wanted to thank you and see if you have any words of wisdom for the aspiring entrepreneurs out there, or anything that you'd like to share with our audience.
Well, I think you learn a lot on YouTube. I know it sounds a bit stupid, but believe me or not, I've spent quite a bit of time learning a few things, quite a bit of basics about a cash flow sheet, or even like how companies get the company's valuation work.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit harder to find them for consulting firms, per se. It's easier to find those, let's say, models for product companies. But yeah, I think it's a continuous learning journey. And there's a person I appreciate a lot, who is my flight instructor, and in the past he said something to me. And that's quite known among pilots, is the day you stop learning is the day you die.
Yep, for so true.
I think that, you know, but again, I might just take that and reuse that here. So it's a continuous learning journey. You're going to do mistakes along the way. Try not to do the same mistakes more than twice, I think. Yeah. There's, you know, try to be honest with yourself and you know, sense what's happening, right? Look at, you know, to put it this way, look at yourself in the mirror and say, all right, have I done a good week? You know, regularly assess what you're doing, I think, and just be true to yourself. You know, regularly assess where you're going every week, I think, or doesn't need to be every day, but have that time to have a bit of, you know, you time or me time, just like sit there and reflect a bit. We are on a constant, let's say, battle on a week by week basis, you know, extinguishing fires, like selling and talking and meetings back to backs every day. But it's keen important to, at some point, just like we go to mass, for example, just sit down and just reflect a bit on what's been happening and fun time to think forward a bit. So,
yep. I agree. Thank you so much, Stefano, for sharing your incredible insights and experiences with us today. It's always a pleasure. I look forward to in 2 years doing it again. But thank you as well to all of our listeners for joining us. You've been tuned into Entrepreneurs Talk Africa, the podcast for African entrepreneurs. As we wrap up, we'd be grateful for you to take a moment to rate us on your preferred podcast platform, as it really generally helps us to grow and reach more entrepreneurs like yourself. So in the words of Stefano, keep learning, and we'll see you soon. Thanks again.